from the topic, miraculous moments of moving forward. Miraculous moments of moving forward. I'm going to get into the moments, but I've got to give a couple things to help us all get on the same page. So I need you to bear with me a little bit this morning, okay? Bear with me a little bit. Go with me to, I'm going to give some scriptures so we can get a context of what I'm saying. Go with me to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. We're talking about miraculous moments of moving forward. And I shared a little bit on Wednesday. You said, well, Pastor, what are you talking about, miraculous moments? There are moments in your life where God does something miraculous. Yes. And that something moves you to a place in him. It moves you forward to a place in him. And you can't go backwards anymore. You can't go back to what you used to know, back to what you used to do, because he moved you forward. It was a miraculous moment. It wasn't an ordinary, everyday type thing. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, we shared on this past Wednesday. We said, for instance, when you gave your heart to the Lord, there was a moment, see, there was a moment before you gave your heart that you were a heathen, an unbeliever, you were doing all of your stuff, but somewhere along the line, a miraculous moment occurred and the Holy Spirit came and bear witness to the truth of who Jesus is. Amen. It was a miraculous moment that moved you forward into salvation. Mm-hmm. You've never been the same since. I'm not saying that you ain't had your struggles. I'm not saying that you haven't went through something. I'm not saying the times have always been good. What I am saying is it was a miraculous moment that you had. Yes. And that moment moved you forward. You couldn't go back no more. We talked about when Peter was watching, the Bible says Jesus was walking on the water. They thought it was a ghost. Peter screamed like a little girl. Read the text. It's actually in there. He screamed. They were all afraid. And then Peter said, listen, Jesus, if it's you, bid me come. Now, all of their lives, they have been associated with water. They're fishermen, boats, nets, all of these kind of things. They dealt with all of their life. And Jesus is standing on the water, and he says, okay, Peter, come on. It is a miraculous moment when Peter takes that first step. Oh, yeah, this is different. I ain't never walked on the water before. See, and I know Peter, like people like to get into the story about Peter, and they said, well, you know, Peter looked at the wind and the waves, and he began to sink. But Peter walked on water. You say what you want to say. Peter walked on water. And Peter, when he got back to the boat, James, John, all of them, they recognized Peter walked on the water. So wait a minute. What is it like for Peter every other time when he looks at water now? Because of one miraculous moment that moved him forward. So stick with me today and we're going to get somewhere, because I believe God has something for us today that's going to become a miraculous moment that's going to move you forward. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. The Bible says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I believe that there are miraculous moments that are moving us forward, but it has to do with the people that know their God. Hallelujah. Let me share something with you. That passage of scripture, it's actually saying this. Let me share with you what that little bit is saying here. The people that have intimate experience with their God. See, you're not a rookie. Oh, come on now. The people that have intimate experience with their God will, watch this. The Bible says be strong. That word be strong means to display strength. So the people that have intimate experience with their God will display strength. Amen. I'm going to take it a little slow so you make sure you're getting this. So the people that have intimate experience with their God will display strength. Now, Look at this. That do know their God shall be strong or display strength and, in case y'all couldn't see that, and do. And do. That word and do is two words together that means to accomplish. So now, the people that have intimate experience with their God, okay, meaning that you know him, will display strength, which be strong, and do or to accomplish. So they're going to do something with strength. They're going to display strength to do something or to accomplish something. Now, what does the text say? It says exploits, which is bold or daring feats. So let's run all of this together. The people that have intimate experience with their God will display strength to accomplish bold or daring exploits or feats. Do you know that God wants you to accomplish bold, daring feats for him? Oh, I'm telling you, the atmosphere is being set. Okay, Holy Spirit, I am getting so excited. Judges chapter 6, verse 13. Let me answer the question that you are asking now. Because, Pastor, you're talking about miraculous things. You're talking about all of this kind of stuff. What's going on? A miraculous moment? Yeah, I got saved and that was a miracle. Most of us think that's it. You know, I was sharing with the leaders this statement, and I was meditating, and it is true, God will meet you where you at. Please don't think he wants you to stay there.
Amen.
Because God is progressive. Some of us, we don't even look like where we were at, because God took us further, and there's further to go. I know this is what I sense that is happening. God is shaking up some of you all because you have been, you've gotten bored in your walk. It's just, oh, well. Oh, beloved, get ready. It is about to be on. It's about to be on. Judges chapter 6, verse 13, there's a man by the name of Gideon. Gideon was like some of us. The Bible says, verse 13, Gideon said unto him, you know, we say we want to take us to the king. Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, what happened when we get to the king? I'm for real. Let's look at somebody who get there. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? If God is with me, why I'm going through all of this mess? What's wrong with this situation? If God is with me, really? I told you it's a question. We all, you know, we don't want to say that publicly. But I love the scriptures because the Bible says these things are written for our examples. Because so we know that there are people who talk just like we do. You know, you know, sometimes we say stuff under our breath, but God can still hear it. God is with me. Why is all of this? Man, do you know what my life is like? Let's see what Gideon's was. He says, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? I'm tired of reading about the miracles. Where are they? Tired of folk telling me about the miracles. Where are they? Ken, you know, they don't want to say that. No. Thought we gonna lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Raising folk from the dead, opening blind eyes, unstopping deaf ears. What a miracle. Tired of reading all that New Testament stuff. All them things the prophets did. This is what Gideon said. He says, yeah, you know, they told us about this stuff. But right now, he says, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us. God don't left us. And delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, this is Gideon's question. He is speaking with an angel of the Lord, and these are his questions. Because sometimes we think when we get in the presence of God, everything just gonna poof. and be fixed. But what about your questions? I'm going to share something briefly with you. Let me give you the answer. Can I tell you what the answer was to this? First off, this question was not answered by words, but by deeds. If you read the story of Gideon, the angel don't even address what he asked. Listen to this. Gideon became part of the answer despite his initial poor self-image. Because of the if the reality be known to all of us, sometimes we got a poor self-image. Well, I see myself as great. No. I'm talking about, what is the God in you that you see? That's what moves us away from wanting to do anything, because we don't see God being able to do it through us. You see Minister Plummer, how he get up. He can do that stuff, but I can't. Why not? So God's a respecter of persons. See, we got to change some stuff, like Gideon. So all of a sudden, God makes you part of the answer because he ain't got time to deal with your words when he know you part of the solution. Because God was with them and he sent him. So two biblical keys to miraculous moments of moving forward. Key number one, God has to be with you. Key number two, God has to send you. I'm going to give you some scriptures for both of those. Let's deal with number one. The first key, God has to be with you. Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. God makes our potential limitless. You know, the late Miles Monroe said, the cemetery is the place full of unused potential. Listen to that. The cemetery is a place full of unused potential. People died with potential. What good is your potential if you never utilize it? God makes your potential limitless. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Key being with God. Matthew 1:23 says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus wanted us to know how much he wants to be with us, so he gave us a name that reminds us of his commitment to us. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Two biblical keys to miraculous moments. First off, God has got to be with us. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such thing as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What are you saying, Pastor? Abandonment is not part of God's character. Abandonment is not part of God's character. He that hath begun a good work in you shall also perform it even unto the day of Christ. Abandonment is not part of God's character. I don't care how things may feel. You may feel alone, but that don't mean you are alone. God, I feel like I'm all by myself in this thing. You don't know what I'm going through. If people only understood. Why are you worrying about people understanding? People going through too. Don't you know folks right next to you going through stuff too? Don't you know your coworkers when they come, you say good morning and they like, you ever, how you doing? You ever realize that people don't tell you how they doing? I mean, how you doing is a greeting for some people. How you doing? Hello. No, I said, how you doing? Because people are so caught up in their own life, they really don't hear what you're saying. You know, I was listening, you know, Minister Plummer mentioned about the wedding. Now, I didn't watch the wedding. I'm not a sentimental person like that, you know. I'm just not. I'm like, oh, that's nice, you know, okay. I was like, what do you got on? I mean, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking at. What was that he was wearing? What kind of uniform is that? That's the kind of stuff. I'm sorry. That's just what I see. But this guy made a comment. And the comment, I said, wow. He said, was it Prince Harry? That's his name? Yeah. Prince Harry and Meghan. Her name ain't Markle no more, right? No, see that, y'all? Look at that. Y'all need to get it together. Y'all watch the wedding. Well, the Duke and the Duchess. Okay. The guy made this comment. He says, because he's a friend of theirs. He made this comment. He says, they are down-to-earth people. When you sit with them, you really feel like they listen to you. How many people can you say that about now? That when you sit down with them, you really feel like they listen. I said, that is so awesome. For somebody to make that kind of comment about you in a day like this. You know, folks got their cell phone on the table. It's buzzing, and they're looking at that, and then they're looking at their watch, and like, are we finished yet? He said, you really feel like they listen to you when you're talking with them. I was like, wow. That was powerful to me. I mean, you know, I mean, I know y'all was looking at what dress she had on and all that stuff, but I thought the comment was powerful. But you know what? God listens to you when you talk. Because abandonment is not part of his character. You never say anything and he not hear it. John chapter 1 verse 11. It says, the Bible says, he came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Being with God is a choice that each person must make for themselves. This God is not forcing anybody to be with him. Just like abandonment is not part of his character, he's also not a kidnapper. Right. Right. So, key number one, God's got to be with you. Key number two, God has to send you. Y'all with me? Mark 3, verse 14. We'll cover these and then we're going to get into some stuff here. Mark 3 and 14, the Bible says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Yes. You cannot be sent unless you were first with him. Mm-hmm. I know it would be nice to have something deep right there. But that's pretty straightforward. There's a lot of people who are trying to work for God or work a work of God, but they were not with God from the beginning. This, you can't just duplicate what you see somebody else doing and think that means that God has endorsed it. Come on, Pastor. You look what he did with the 12 disciples. The first thing he did, they were with him. Then he sent them. You can't be sent unless you were with him. God has to send you. Matthew 10 and 16 says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. When you are sent, you are authorized to operate amongst the wolves. Jesus was fully aware of what environment he's sending his people in. But when you're sent, you're authorized to operate amongst the wolves. If you're not sent, you're not authorized to operate amongst the wolves. You're going to have wisdom and you're going to be harmless because you're authorized to operate amongst the wolves. Mark 16 and 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The one who sends you knows what you're able to accomplish. See, that's why you give account to God and not to man. Because he sent you. He know what you're capable of doing. He know if you gave it your all or not. I remember once I was in the Marine Corps. We were in boot camp. We were running. We was running on the track. I mean, you know, back then, well, I don't know if it was even a track. But I was running with the drill instructors. And I was a character. I was just a character. Boot camp was a laughing experience for me. I would always get in trouble for laughing. So I was laughing at folks. Because it's things I had never seen in my life people would do under the stress and the strain of boot camp. It just blew me away. But we was in there and we were running, Deacon Green. And I remember I never ran as fast as I could. I just always made it look like I was, And I wouldn't sweat. I mean, I just didn't sweat. It takes a lot to make me sweat. So anyway, I was running along next to this guy, and the drill instructor was there. And I don't know if the guy said something or whatever. And I took off running, and I left this guy. But my drill instructor was there. And he said, oh. So that was the day that they realized I was a little faster than what they thought I was. And the reason I'm saying this is, I lost my point, but let me see if I can find it. See, God knows what you're capable of doing. Then after that, my drill instructors knew what I was capable of doing, and I could never do that. I could never lay back like that no more. But my point was, like I said, I had hid that all of that time. There are people trying to hide. You can't hide what God has put inside you. I was able to hide that simply because they never knew me. He knows you. All right, let me turn the corner since y'all laughing at me. So, two keys. First off, God has to be with you. Second key, God has to send you. We're talking about miraculous moments to move you forward. What do you need? God to be with you. God to send you. All right, now, go with me to Judges chapter 6 again, verse 11. We're going to talk about a miraculous moment that moved Gideon forward. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. The Bible says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Yes, sir. If you don't know, that's where Ophrah's name came from. They just spelled it wrong. So now you know. Look at this. It says, the angel of the Lord sat under the oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So Gideon is threshing wheat by the winepress. Okay, you press the grapes for the wine at the winepress. You don't thresh wheat at the winepress. And it says he's doing it to hide from the enemy. Are you following me? The Midianites. Now, we can hide from my enemy, but not from God. Notice where the angel showed up? Midianites don't know where you at, but the angel does. Y'all making me work hard. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. What was the first key we need? God has to be with us. Our circumstances are not the determining factor on whether God is with us or not. Hear me, saints. He is still at the wine press threshing wheat when the angel says, God is with you. Don't allow your circumstances to determine for you whether or not God is with you. Your circumstances do not determine that. I feel like we're getting a little breakthrough here. Verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us. Okay, now it's an if, but I just said he is. You see what we do? It was God has already established himself being with you because he gave you his word. I don't know if you realize this, but you cannot separate God and his word. I know we live in this kind of world where we say one thing and do another. God is not like that. If he say it, it's done. If God say that's blue, it's blue. It's blue all day long. It's blue all night long. It's going to be blue until God says another color. Well, no, no, Pastor, what do you mean? He could change his mind. God said, let there be light. It's still shining. And you know he didn't get up and repeat it. We're the ones that have to repeat what we're saying so people will take us for real. You know, we was across my heart, pinky swear. You know, when we was little, we had to do all of that. You know, to make sure you took me for real. God ain't got to do all of that. He and his word are one. So if you get a word from God, you got God. I had to just put that with that. So we get it, you know. Now, verse 13, Gideon said unto, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? God, why am I going through all this? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us of? In other words, we got to go back to, we don't heard about all of this, but I'm not seeing it. He says, but now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Listen to this. Your present circumstances may be the consequences of others' previous actions. Our present circumstances could be the consequences of others' previous actions. That's what was going on with Gideon. If you go back to the beginning of Judges chapter 6, you find out that Israel done evil in the sight of the Lord. So because they did wrong, their previous actions, Gideon, present circumstances, are their consequences. The consequences are his present circumstances. We have to understand what are you undoing in your family? What are you dealing with that were the consequences of previous decisions in your family? See, if we had time, we would delve into some stuff. Because, you know, we try to act like, God, I don't know what's wrong. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Amen. You. Okay, first off, let me say this. So before you get offended, I can give you my disclaimer. Everybody comes from a dysfunctional family. Since Adam and Eve, everybody comes from a dysfunctional family. I don't care how good you try to make it. Your mama and daddy may have lived at the little bitty house and y'all had 2.5 kids with the white picket fence. That's the way it look on the outside. We know us folks crazy in your family. You know how we know that? Because we got folks that's crazy in our family. And we start realizing that people are just like us. You know how you have those people in your family that you kind of go like, all right, now we're going home. And I just want you to know. I mean, you know how you start explaining to people first. Now, see, now my uncle, when he was younger, oh, we got to hear the whole. So you let me know what's going to happen. We are trying to do it in a nice way to let you know, listen, they're crazy. And see, the reason we can go, oh, okay, is because it's your uncle, it's my aunt. You wouldn't believe her, girl. So we can relate because we got people like that in our family. Because every family since Adam and Eve is dysfunctional. Now, so when you get a bunch of dysfunctional people together, now you start to create circumstances or consequences that just because you saved don't mean that you're not subject to those consequences. So if you keep those practices going, you're going to keep living in those consequences. So now here's Gideon, and God shows up and said, listen, I'm with you. Shows up in the form of an angel, lets you know I'm with you. Now, we get ready to handle some stuff. So Gideon said, but my circumstances are still messed up. That's because they done some stuff. We're about to fix that, though. Okay? I want you to understand miraculous moments, how this happens. God shows up, and he's ready to do something, so stop talking about the way things have been. No, you didn't get that. You're missing what I'm saying. Stop talking about what has happened. Stop talking about what's going on. He is obviously showing up for a reason. Now, y'all are working me this morning. Maybe the reason we have the question is because God wants to use you for an answer. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? I don't understand. Isn't it funny that Gideon is the only person in Israel that has the question? Where's all the miracles? We've been hearing all of this stuff. We've been told of this. I'm over here hiding from the enemy. Why is it like this? How come everybody don't have that question? Maybe the reason you have the question about, God, isn't it a better life out here? God, isn't there more out here? Isn't it? God's got to be more. Maybe the reason you have the question is because God wants to use you as part of the answer. Yeah, oh yeah. Verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So what was the first key? God has to be with you. What's the second one? Okay, I'm just seeing if y'all are good class. So miraculous moments require divine authorization. Miraculous moments require divine authorization. If you're going to start breaking the laws of nature, you got to have authorization. And the authorization's got to come from God. That's why you have to be sent. Boy, I'm not just saying all of this for my health today. Just wait. Lord, I'm going to obey you. I am. Verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. We poor, and I'm less than everybody else. Oftentimes, how we see ourselves is not the same as how God sees us. God had already said, I'm with you. You talking about your economic status. What you were born into doesn't determine what you were born to do. What you were born into doesn't determine what you were born to do. We need to discover what God has for us. Not allow our circumstances to determine what God has for us. I might have been, I mean, you know what? I know we may not want to say that this in here today, but if we were to really take a survey and really look, most of us in here were born into poverty. Do you mean to tell me that that's what you were determined to be a part of for the rest of your life? Because what you were born into doesn't determine what you were born to do. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Listen to this. I'm almost finished. This is good. We made good time. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. God plus you equals a majority. It's the plus that makes the difference. Now, you didn't get that one all the way. God plus you makes the difference. Because, I'm sorry, God plus you makes the majority. But it's the plus that makes the difference. You without the plus doesn't make the difference. God plus you makes the difference. Okay, Holy Spirit. Listen to this. John chapter 14, verse 12. Lord, you are good. Thank you. I believe the word. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Jesus said that there are greater works to be done by the people that believe on him. Criteria is the people that believe on him. Verily, verily, truly, truly. Let's work with this just for a second. Truly, truly. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. When God repeats something, he's establishing it. Truly, truly. So what can we establish? It's true. See, this ain't hard. It's true, I say unto you, he that believeth, ETH, continually. You can't start and stop. He that continues to believe on me, the works that I do, whatever you have seen Jesus do, whatever you have heard Jesus do, and are you ready for this last one? Even some things you didn't know that Jesus did. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, John said everything he did couldn't even be written down. So some stuff that he did that's not even in the book that he expects you to do. Oh, boy. That's heresy. No, just read the Bible. The works that I do shall he do also. Jesus expects us to do what he did. Now, I need you to get there first. I just got to get you there first. Because the second part of that is heavy and greater. But I got to get you there first. And greater works than these. What is the these? It's the works that he knows that we know he's done. I expect you to do greater than them. Now, oh Lord, we can't do nothing greater than you. Yes, you can. Not greater in the magnitude, greater in the number. Okay, can you imagine all of us? Watch this. Let's say if one person in here could just heal the sick. Now, what if all of us could heal the sick? Every one of us could be at the hospital at the same time, and we're going to synchronize our watches. At 12 o'clock, you start laying hands on folks, I'm going to start laying hands on folks. Look at the magnitude. So it can be greater. Y'all making me work, but it's okay, because I know what the Lord said. So truly, truly, I say unto you, the ones that continue to believe on me, the works that I do, shall they do also, and greater works, because they're going to be able to do more, because I go to my Father. Now, turn with me to Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, And I'm going to close. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. This is what the Lord told me, so I'm going to do what he said, and we're going to have what he said. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The Lord, this is what the Lord told me. He says, prepare my people for the miraculous. That's what he told me. And now, because of the way I am, and God made me like this, I said, Lord, I need to see that. So he said, Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. So God, it says sanctify the people. You told me to prepare the people. So he said, well, Daryl, you know, why don't you look that up? So I looked that up. You know, sanctify means prepare. Isn't that amazing? So we realized that if you got his word, you got him. And he said, prepare his people for the miraculous. So, I want you to stand up. I'm going to do all that he told me to do. I'm going to finish my assignment today. Finish my assignment. The way I was supposed to prepare you was to tell you. Because the womb of man is the ear. See, I'm talking about, I'm not talking about male, female. I'm talking about mankind. Jesus says, be careful what you hear. So the way I'm supposed to prepare you is for you to hear. Now, the Bible says in Mark chapter 4 that the word of God is a seed. So if the womb of man is his ear, and not a seed has been planted. Now, I'm going to do the other part. He told me to decree and declare what he said concerning miracles. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe in my limited ability to convey the truth of God apart, you know, from what he says. I believe when we're talking, this is not your stomach ain't getting better. I believe this is going to be a miraculous moment like it was for Gideon to move you forward. Well, Gideon never went back thinking about being the little guy who had to sit in the wine press while he was doing the wheat. He never went back to seeing himself as some guy who was subject to all of the circumstances working against him in life. Gideon moved so forward in the things of God. Most of us think about Gideon and the 300. That's fine and good, but do you know Gideon became the ruler over Israel? Do you know that he was the person responsible for setting the spiritual climate for the people of God? All because Gideon allowed God to use a miracle to move him forward. I believe these are the kinds of things that God wants to do in his people. This is not just a redeeming love word ministry's word. I believe this is the body of Christ's word, but my assignment is right here now. I believe somebody else's assignment is somewhere else doing something very similar this very moment. Now, I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do. So if you don't mind, just give me a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, in accordance unto your word, I decree the miraculous power of the living God to come upon your people. God, I pray that doors will be opened that no man could shut. I pray, Lord, that you will shut doors that no man can open. God, I pray that the miraculous power of the living God would demonstrate who you are in our lives, Father. Go before us, God. Prepare a way. God, I pray, blow our minds with the miraculous. And I believe it so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.